Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. One thing nice about Saturdays is that most of us do not have to log on to a screen for work. This can be a day to unplug and enjoy the beautiful world that God has given us, to connect with family in person, to take quiet moments of tranquility. I know many of us have to work on Saturdays, but hopefully we get another day off to rest. Saturday is nice, though. It's the seventh day of the week, a chance to pause at the end. And thankfully, many of us get Sunday off as well for church and worship. I'm joined this morning by my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, Mike. 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I didn't get affected too much by that internet shortage, but we did have some friends even several days afterwards that saw disruption in their plane tickets.
Yeah, they did. And you, like me, you have to log onto your computer this morning so we can broadcast. But everything started up okay when you plugged in and turned on, right?
Yep. I got to read all my morning stuff, and my screens are all gone, and I think we're all still addicted on the day we're supposed to be resting. So yeah. I got to get better at that.
No blue screen of death like happened a couple of weeks ago when CrowdStrike had its, what should we call it, a problem?
Well, you know, you hear these things out there, and we go all the way back to some things we've talked about on Economic War Room, where the World Economic Forum has wargamed a cyber attack on the banks, which sets up a great reset. I couldn't help but think when I saw that happening, is this it? Is this the big one? Glad that it wasn't. But we never know what's quite behind this, or is this another test?
Oh, they tell us what's behind it, but it doesn't mean they're telling us the truth.
Right.
I purposely did not look at my bank account. I was like, I don't want to know. They're going to work it out. All right. So this was a stark reminder of vulnerability. They say it wasn't hacking. A software upgrade to stop hacking took down most of the system, worse than any hacker in some cases. So I want to quote to you an article in Spiceworks.com. Spiceworks, that sounds like a cooking program, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Spiceworks is actually an IT professional's website and manual, right? So Spiceworks, Falcon Sensor up product update creates outages for Microsoft users worldwide and analysis. Had you ever heard of a Falcon Sensor product update before?
No, but that's one more reason why I'm glad I'm not an IT guy, just keeping track of the terminology.
Falcon Sensor
product
update.
Falcon sounds kind of cool.
It does. I like Liberty Hawk better than Falcon, but all right. It creates outages for Microsoft users worldwide. A faulty content upgrade pushed by CrowdStrike caused outages for Microsoft-powered systems worldwide. Learn more about the scope of the impact and measures to mitigate the effects of similar incidences going forward. So they published an article July 22nd. By the way, have you heard CrowdStrike before?
I've not heard of them before until this came out, but then I see all the partners that are part of that, and it's a pretty big deal.
It's a big firm, but I want to tell you where they were. CrowdStrike was the firm that when the Democrat National Committee had the emails released and all of that, and they claimed that it was Russian hackers, they handed it off the servers, not to the FBI, they gave them to CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike told them, oh no, it looks like it was Russian hacking, until the CrowdStrike executives were called into Congress to testify, and when they were under oath, they didn't quite tell exactly the same story. So I don't know if there's a tie-in.
Wasn't it something
to
like
Congress
in Ukraine or somewhere like that, or where?
We don't know that. You know, there's all kinds of rumors, and I don't want to get into all the rumors. But it was Mark Rich got killed around that time, and they thought that, you know, maybe somebody leaked that information out, or maybe it was anonymous. You know, so many different things. But they very plainly led the DNC to tell us. I don't know if the DNC made it up and CrowdStrike supported them, or vice versa. Oh, it's Russian hacking, which made fit into the Russiagate narrative that Trump was tied to Russia and leaked these emails. And then when they got called before Congress under oath, they had a little bit different story. So I don't know. It's hard to tell with these firms who they're tied to. Are they part of the big global cabal, or are they just a honest, hardworking cybersecurity firm that works with Microsoft? But let me read. The global reach of Microsoft services, including Office 365, Azure, and Teams are used in the daily operations of numerous businesses worldwide. The reliance on such services for collaboration, communication, and cloud computing means that any disruption can have a massive impact, and that's certainly what happened. Dependence on cloud services, the global transition to cloud computing has resulted in the centralization of critical operations and data in the hands of a few service providers, one of them being CrowdStrike. 62% of global external vulnerabilities are linked to third-party software, which increases the risk and impact of breaches. Bottom line, it's all connected. You're VeggieTales with your kids.
Oh, yeah. Got many songs in the back of my mind still.
One of them that my wife and I quote every once in a while when we put our tinfoil conspiracy theory hats on is when Larry the Cucumber found out that all the weeds in town that were popping up called the rumor weeds, they were all connected underneath the surface. And that's what seems like has happened. Now,
well, you look at this and you realize how vulnerable we are, you know, as a system, not only connected within the U.S. but globally, and systems that we rely on every day could be gone just like that.
Yeah, it impacted real people. I mean, people that were getting on flights couldn't take off. They couldn't. The reservation systems and all flight cancellations and everything, especially Delta, got hit the hardest. But Southwest Airlines, did you notice that the pride of the Southwest, you know, Texas based airline, they didn't get hit at all.
I saw that because they were using a really old technology, and I thought, wow, there's hope for people like me.
Yes, Windows 3.1, an operating system, is 32 years old. Southwest, along with UPS and FedEx, haven't had any issues with the CrowdStrike outage because they're using 32-year-old software. I mean, everybody laughing at them. Oh, that's going to fail you. That's going to fail. No, the ones with the modern, most up-to-date stuff, they're the ones that – and they don't get hacked very often either because it's really – hackers don't know how to hack a Windows 3.1 software.
I saw that, and then I started wondering, Southwest has had their own fair share of issues, though, like with their planes flying surprisingly low over homes and stuff like that.
So yeah.
Maybe they got an old altimeter. They need to replace some of that technology.
Yeah, that's possible, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Boeing, it used to be that you could count on these great American companies. And they're always reliable. Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking, mm-hmm. kind of thing. But now we're seeing so many things, the complexity of life. So airline systems went down. Delta, American, Spirit, Frontier, United, and Allegiant all said they were having issues. Southwest Airlines, things were going off without a hitch. Why? Because they're basically technology Luddites. They're in the dark ages with the 32-year-old Windows programs.
But, typically they say that if your software is out of date, you're more vulnerable. You're always supposed to update, so you're on top of the newest bugs. But I guess that one is just a one-off that's kind of forgotten about out there.
Yeah, or it's a pile, and you just keep piling it higher and the higher you're in. Eventually, it crashes. And the software, Southwest systems didn't crash. Although, are we allowed to use the term crash in relation to an airline? That's probably a bad thing to say. All right, so it was the airlines that got hit. What does that do for people? It throws off their whole vacations, their family meetings, business meetings. When you have those kind of things happening, I've had delayed flights. Almost every flight I've taken this year has been delayed in some way, sometimes hours, sometimes a day, but it's just not a pleasant thing, is it?
Flying in general is not as pleasant as it used to be, but it's... the way life is today. So.
Yeah, though I got that rare thing called an upgrade to first class the other day, and they brought by a little basket of chips and said, which chips would you like, Mr. Freeman? They called me by name, which was nice, and then they offered me chips, and I was like, where'd the meals go? You used to get meals in coach, meals with real silverware and napkins.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now it's paper and plastic cups, and they don't even give bags of peanuts hardly anymore. Sometimes I get the Biscoff cookies. I like those. All right, so we're having a very serious cyber outage from CrowdStrike. It was supposed to be over in hours, then it took days, and then there's still repercussions that are coming from that. That's just the impact, though, on travel and the airlines. This CrowdStrike failure really hit so many industries. We'll talk about more of these after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about the CrowdStrike failure, which was a Falcon sensor product update causing outages for Microsoft users worldwide. It impacted the airlines, except for Southwest, because they have the old operating system all the way back from 32 years ago. I guess that's 1992. That's the last time they put a new operating system in their computers. But it didn't hit just the airlines. It hit other areas as well. You mentioned one earlier.
Yeah, well, the banking is obviously the one that worried me. And I was kind of like, are they just making fun of me or what? Because I got online for some banking stuff the other day. And the first thing that popped up on my screen was, would you like to get rid of your mail,
paper
statements? And if you don't click on this, you're going to automatically be converted to electronic statements. I'm like, this is the last thing that I want to get rid of right now. In fact, this is bad timing on your part. So I had to unclick it to make sure that I was still going to get my paper statements. And then I clicked it, and it looked like when I clicked it, it still looked like it put the things back in. So we'll see what happens.
But, it gets very deceptive. Yeah. Do you not want to have paper statements?
Exactly.
You got to figure. Yeah, but with the banks, CrowdStrike outage, this is from Bloomberg, another sharp warning for banks. Relying on a handful of third-party vendors creates risks for the financial industry. Again, another article from July 22nd. The chaos that froze digital systems around the world on Friday is exactly the kind of crisis that financial regulators have been fretting about in recent years. You mentioned something earlier. What was it? The WEF?
Yeah, the WEF wargaming that they did. You know, we saw them wargame a pandemic, and some of that came true.
Event 201, right?
Yeah, and then we also saw them wargame, okay, let's have record inflation coming out of the pandemic, followed by a cyber attack on the banks, which sets up the Great Reset.
Event 202, right? and so they've been wargaming this. That's what we've been warned about. What's worse, U.S. bank supervisors have recently criticized leading lenders for poor management of such operational risks in private report cards. Together, they're a wake-up call about the dangers of a few dominant third parties providing critical services to the industry. So here, you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. I'm trying to use the proper language here. Darned if you do, if you hire the best, CrowdStrike was held out as one of the best, then if they have a failure, everybody loses and that impacts your customers. But if you don't hire them, you get dinged for trying to do it in-house and you don't have the expertise and they're on top of things. You know, this is a scary time. The banks that were included in this, problems at Bank of America Corporation, JP Morgan Chase, and among others. Well, there aren't that many big banks left in America. Those are two of the biggest.
Yeah, what is it, top five banks now that are the really big ones? Five or six?
They're consolidating into a very few. If there were six yesterday, there'll be five tomorrow. So it ground to a halt processing issues, holding up home purchases and other transactions. You're in the home builder business. When you close on a home, if the bank delays it by a day or two and interest rates move, what happens? I guess you've locked in.
It depends on the kind. Yeah, you typically are locked in by that time. But if you're at the end of it, you could have a potential issue.
Yeah, so it could create some real problems. This is about our money. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR.
You know, Kevin, before we go to kind of the next segment here, the banks itself, that's the probably the biggest one of all these. Obviously, if I don't get on my flight, I'm disappointed. If I'm on my flight and there's a problem, I'm really disappointed if I'm crashing. But yeah. But as it relates to my money and a cyber attack, that's probably one of the biggest things that many of our audience call and ask about. What should we be doing? How do we make sure we're at a good bank? All that kind of stuff. We're going to get into that today, or
we are. Time? I mean, stop and just apply some common sense. You already said it. If you have a banking relationship and they're demanding that you go to only electronic statements and you realize that an outage could keep you from accessing those statements, how are you going to prove that you have money in the bank? Mm-hmm. What do you do in that case? You hopefully have screenshot at least, but what if you can't access your photos because the photo stream gets compromised?
Right.
I remember when we had the World Trade Center attacked on September 11th, 2001. It's a very dark day in American history, very dark day for financial services. I was in that industry. I was in the World Trade Center 1 week before that attack. I've got my security badge that I saved from that. And it's the most secure building, harder to get into than the Pentagon at the time. And I've done work in the Pentagon. I know what it means to go in. Then a plane flies in and the buildings collapse. I had my line of credit in a company that had all its operating information in that building.
Wow.
I could not access it. I had employees. I had a $100,000 payroll I had to make that weekend. And everybody was saying, hey, don't stop spending money. Don't let the economy freeze up. So I wanted all the employees to get paid. The only way I could access the money was to go and borrow against my line of credit. And the company that had it was under the rubble. Right. But I had that line of credit. They had other offices. I showed up at the time, it was Bank One here in Texas, with paper copies of my holdings and my abilities and all the funds that I had there. And I was able to show them, demonstrate that paper copy. And they, as a result, loaned me $100,000. I paid the payroll. And everybody went on with life, and I did have that money. It was really there. It was really mine. And so, because I had the paper statements.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's a big deal. We get so, there's a normalcy bias to think, like, oh, I always have access to everything here on my computer or on my phone, and then it's not there, and that's when the panic hits. So yeah. That's a simple thing that all of us can be doing right now.
On the other side, the panic hits when your wife looks at you and says, why do you have all these boxes of paper?
Yeah.
Can't we get rid of some of these? But you need to keep some of those paper statements. I think that's a good practical thing. We'll get into some other practical things as we progress in the program today. But let's talk another one. You don't want your plane to fall out of the sky, but if you are on the ground and you don't take off, it's annoying, but you'll survive that. If your money is taken away, you'll survive that. What if your hospital goes down and they have no longer access to your medical records?
Yeah, and it's the emergency surgery, and you got a problem.
Yeah, my wife, when she was getting her knee surgery, the surgeon made her circle the knee he was supposed to cut and put an X on the other one. But we depend so much on medical records, and almost all of them are computerized. And there was a massive outage from the CrowdStrike that hit hospitals. I don't know if you heard any of this. Unless you had somebody in the hospital, you might not have noticed.
I had a friend in Tulsa that was going in for a pacemaker, and he was with one of the smaller systems. But I had to check and say, are you still on for it? Praying for you. He got through his, but I saw some of the bigger hospitals, networks, and systems were the ones that were most impacted by that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. NPR did a story titled, "The CrowdStrike Outage Disrupted Many Industries. Hospitals Were Especially Vulnerable." And they just do an interview talking about in the labor delivery department at Kaiser Permanente San Jose Medical Center. A baby had just been born around 9 at night, and the registered nurse was at the end of her shift, and they didn't know how to treat the baby because some of the records were there. The baby was getting antibiotic eye ointment, and look at the computers. Wait, what? What am I supposed to give the baby? I'm not sure. And the computer wouldn't restart. 911 systems went down. And so you're calling 911, what's your emergency? They couldn't take your call.
Yeah.
Because the system was dependent on Microsoft. These are really serious issues when these things happen. Everything runs on Windows in healthcare. It's not an Apple industry, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you're talking babies. I mean, I saw part of that article on the nursery there somewhere where they were talking about they had to physically lock the doors, and the nurses had to try and hold the babies and do the best they could to take care of them, but they couldn't have any visitation because they didn't have any confirmation of who the baby belonged to. I mean, it's a quick spiral of mass chaos when this kind of thing happens.
Right. They were sending faxes to send instructions. And the doctors, believe it or not, had to handwrite prescriptions. And that's not the problem. The writing's not the problem. The reading is the problem when it's doctors writing it. All right, here's the worst one of all, probably. I don't know if you know this. This is probably the greatest impact of any of the outages that happened. Starbucks apps went down. People couldn't get their caffeine.
I saw that, and to somebody, they said they actually had to manually go in and talk to somebody to order their drink.
Yeah, it's terrible. Starbucks locations were taking only cash. This was in USA Today. Big story. According to multiple media reports, some consumers complained on social media about not being able to use their Starbucks morning app. Here's a post. This morning's outage was so annoying, I had to actually place my at Starbucks order in person like a caveman. All right. So
something tells me for that guy, that was might have been a good thing for him.
Yeah.
So he probably needed a little more manliness. He needs to be a caveman, to walk up like a big boy and just order the thing.
All right, here's another one. A lady posted a handwritten note at her Starbucks drive-up window that read, "Everything is down. Please come to walk up. I'm now personally affected by this because I had to order my Starbucks latte verbally and stand in a line. Am I entitled to compensation?"
Wow. Was that signed by, what do they use that name now, a Karen? That sounds a little bit like one of those things.
Yeah, no offense.
Entitled to compensation.
No offense to Karens everywhere.
I've got some great friends named Karen. So
no offense to Karens. There were a lot of impacts on this, and keeping people from the caffeine is kind of one of the more humorous impacts that we faced. But it hit retailers, it hit public transit, it hit anything dependent on modern Windows, and that's the vast majority of the computers out there. Thankfully, it wasn't a hack. At least they told us it wasn't a hack. And it looks like there's a fix, as complicated as it is. I can imagine the barista trying to reboot the blue screen of death to try and figure out exactly how to get back on and get that latte ordered online.
But I did see, since Starbucks was only taking cash, tips were probably up at the same time. At least they weren't maybe paying as much in taxes.
What is that word, cash? I mean, there's a whole war on cash. What people were pulling the change out of their couches from 25 years ago. I got to buy a latte. I got to do it. And just can you imagine if it had actually been a hacker and not just a minor, Falcon sensor update? That would have been a little bit scary. All of the impacts, anything dependent on Windows, whether it's a hospital, transportation, public transit, retailers, any of those things, they went down when CrowdStrike went down. Thankfully, it was not a hack. It shows our vulnerability. We'll talk about this and more after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about the CrowdStrike failure that took down, you know, Delta Airlines, took down hospitals, took down banks, and worst of all, took down Starbucks. Okay. All right. Maybe that's not the worst of all. People were complaining they couldn't get their latte.
Starbucks, but let's go to the next level of that, because we also talk in the show about the importance of being prepared in case these things happen. And what it didn't hit was our water distribution systems or our grocery systems. But those are things that we need to be thinking about as well.
Absolutely could have. And we don't know, because there was still food on the shelves and stuff. We don't know which systems might have gone down. But you're right. The grocery stores were open. There was no panic there. The water continued to operate and so forth. So that is good news. But a hacker would without hesitation take those systems down. Hackers will do a lot of bad things, and they were taking advantage of this CrowdStrike outage as well. So first thing, you're not working with a blue screen of death. Either you had your Microsoft PC turned off that day or whatever, because you said you didn't see a blue screen of death. But when you do see that, what's the first thing you're wanting to do?
find my backup drives.
Fix it. Yeah, you got to find a way
to fix it. Do I have the data somewhere?
And so you look for an opportunity. The internet was still up at that point, so you just go to Google on the internet. I'm going to find the way. Blue screen of death. You type that in, and then, click here for a $50 solution, and you can install it on your computer. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's it. My dad did that. My dad, God rest his soul, he passed away last November. But he called me one day and he said, Kevin, I've got to reboot all of my computer. I just want to let you know, I can't talk to you this afternoon. Because, and I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, well, a guy called me up and told me that they were getting lots of traffic from my computer on the internet, and that he was from Microsoft Windows, and that they were going to repair it for me. All he had to do was to go and make a few changes and then go to this website and click this thing. Oh, Dad, you didn't do it. Yeah, he did. Best Buy, Geek Squad, and two computers later, he was up and operating with a brand new email system. Everything was new. He lost everything. Wow. And then they tried to charge him to get it back. And he said, forget it. I'm not doing that. But that's what's been going on with here's CNN. Hackers taking advantage. Cyber criminals are already capitalizing on the chaos from the massive global tech outage by promoting fake websites filled with malicious software designed to compromise unsuspecting victims, according to warnings from U.S. government and multiple cybersecurity professionals. Hackers have been setting up phony websites meant to appeal to people seeking information on or solutions to the worldwide IT meltdown, but in reality designed to harvest visitors' information or breach their devices, security experts said. Have you run into that?
What was that?
Have you run into that? I've gotten those calls. You're spewing stuff out on the internet. And it's like, really? And I said, yeah, your Microsoft computer's doing it. Really?
Or we'll get the screen will just say, you know, everything's frozen, you know, and you click here. Well, if you hit escape, you're able to get out. But if you click on it, you're in that spiral where they're getting ready to set you up for something.
Highly deceptive, purposeful to try and steal people's money and information. It's frightening. And so we'll have these normal glitches, if that's what CrowdStrike was, in fact, just a normal glitch. And it's complicated to get it back, by the way. You might need an IT professional to help you do it, but absolutely don't just click on this to fix the problem. You think it's an easy fix and it's just going to take you down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say this, what happened to your dad is not uncommon, especially with, as I get older, but even those that are more senior, that aren't used to technology. It is almost easy prey, where it's easy for them to take advantage and do that. And that's where, you know, if you're listening on the radio or to the show, just stop before anybody reaches out to you and says, we can fix this. You just got to give us your information here. It's probably not right.
No, there are a lot of frauds, a lot of scammers that are trying to take advantage. The old style scam was write a check to this wonderful charity. It's called Christians Against Sinful Habits. By the way, just use the initial CASH. Just do it right there. Write that check and hand it to me, and I'll make sure that Christians Against Sinful Habits really
make that out to cash. Huh?
Yeah, CASH. Yeah, okay, C period AS period S period
I'm
H.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. No, but that's what they're doing. It's the same scam. It's called a fraud, and they're doing the same thing. Is that one and done? Guardian had an article, and they said why CrowdStrike style chaos is here to stay. Do you think this is the last we'll see of this?
I think it's a huge and growing industry. We probably have 30% of jobs from government, as we talked about earlier, and another 10 to 15% jobs in scams right now going on.
Yep, and then 10 to 15% jobs in stopping scams.
Exactly.
so, and that's what CrowdStrike was in the business of, stopping scams. And then they had a glitch and you have a problem. All right, so the Guardian says, countless theories for the cybersecurity firm's outage are flying around, but whatever the reason, this sort of thing is likely to happen again. At the margins, even a staged rollout could cause real harm. Here's the problem, is so many people use CrowdStrike, Microsoft used CrowdStrike, that they just decided to implement everybody all at once. Now, why would you do that? That seems insane. On the other hand, if we'd had a worm that had gotten out and the patch was meant to stop the worm and you rolled it out in a staged rollout, That would have been bad, and you'd have pointed CrowdStrike. Why didn't you roll it out all at once? You can't win for losing in these kind of things. So updates aren't supposed to cause this sort of problem. They're, rather than being new code run on each machine, they're instead more like updates to the dictionary, telling the CrowdStrike software already installed what new threats to look out for and how to recognize them. But when they did it, when they applied it, that patch, it created a vulnerability. So it says, we've succeeded in making catastrophic IT outages rare enough that recovering from them is a marathon task. Hooray. So what if this had been a hack? Well, two types, criminal or active warfare. You've heard of ransomware.
Heard of ransomware. And what's potentially worse than that is ransomware that can cripple a whole country. What does that mean to us?
Yeah, well, in 2023 was a record year for digital attacks, and ransomware has the ability not just to hit your computer and charge you for giving your data back, maybe not just your company's computer. What if it hits an entire nation? Mm-hmm. And what do you do there? Mm-hmm. You can bring a nation to its knees by taking them offline. And in fact, that's a form of warfare, or it's criminal activity.
How many cyber experts do we have in the U.S. versus how many in China? I heard this stat once, but and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was unbelievable.
Was that General Flynn?
Was
it Flynn or was
it? Flynn.
It might have been. It might have been,
Flynn.
Or it could have been Air Force General Quast.
Yeah.
But whatever it is that there are way more in China, cyber hackers, and that gets into cyber warfare. But just on the criminal side of things, we were talking about seniors, and you mentioned that a little bit ago. There is a senior scam alert. You can look it up at justice.gov/elderjustice/senior-scam-alert. justice.gov/elderjustice/senior-scam-alert, which tells you how to recognize financial exploitation and scams and how to avoid being a victim.
You know, you say that, but just that title.
I know you're going to type it in and you're going to go to some scam site.
It's like, I don't want to click on that.
So actually, it is justice.gov. And if you go there, you'll be able to click through and find it, because I found it without too much trouble. Okay. But I get what you're saying is you're asking seniors to type in. You type in one letter wrong. My kids typed in whitehouse.com one time instead of whitehouse.gov. Oh my gosh, that is not a good site. Do not go there. It was bought by a pornographer, and my kid's daddy, and I was like, what? So don't go to whitehouse.com, but you can go to justice.gov, and that's how you recognize a government website, is a .gov address. Let me read to you some of the things. The Transnational Elder Fraud Strike Force provides the following list to warn and educate the public about trending elder fraud threats. Strike Force encourages the use of scheme names listed below to enable those combating financial exploitation to speak a common language in discussing or reporting incidences of elder fraud. Common language, that's confusing just in the sentence, right?
Yeah.
Bottom line is they're trying to steal your Social Security. They're trying to steal your bank account information. Here's a good website to know. It's FTC.gov. FTC for Federal Trade Commission. They've got some important tips there on how to spot and avoid and report tech support scams. And by the way, if you want to email us with a question, or you want us to email back and tell you FTC.gov and you want the website spelled out, you can send your questions to AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. You may be listening on an American Family radio station, a terrestrial station, tune in on your car. You may be listening at AFR.net or piratemoneyradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. But you can remember this. AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. You can email us and we'll be happy to answer your questions. So Mike, elder abuse, I'm worried about from our parents. I've lost both of mine, so I guess I'm the elder now. My kids are worrying about me.
It's happening quickly, isn't it? Yes, but it's a real world situation. And even I hear this with, we talk about pirate money and we talk about transactional gold, the legislation we're doing. And while there's a lot of legitimate gold broker dealers out there, and we don't sell any of that, I have seen some in the gold business that have called up some of the elders out there and said, hey, you need to sell everything. You need to buy gold, but don't tell your financial advisor until after you've done this.
That is a red flag right there. Yeah. Don't tell your financial advisor. Yeah. Hey, if your financial advisor is not willing to listen to you, get a new financial advisor. They should be listening to you. They shouldn't dismiss you. However, it's a red flag when somebody says, don't tell anybody. That is bad news. Don't tell anybody I have a surprise party. Okay, on that. My wife and I have a rule. We can only deceive when it's for the purpose of romantic surprise. Other than that, you need to be able to tell somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And the purpose of romantic surprise, you might want to define that a little bit further as you roll that out. I know it's American Family Radio,
a vacation. We're going to take a cruise together. We're going to have a surprise party for one another. We bought a gift. We are married, Mike.
That's my point.
The Bible deals with this stuff. We are married, but purpose of romantic surprise inside between a husband and a wife. How about that?
All right. I forgot completely what we were talking about now.
But, all right. We're talking about schemes and protecting elders. And now you've gotten us all off on that track, you know, romance, like that, those movies, the Hallmark movies, romantic surprise.
Let's take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about cyber hacking as a part of economic warfare. We're at real risk.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
All right, I want to read to you something the FBI put out. Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, Chinese government poses broad and unrelenting threat to U.S. critical infrastructure. That's FBI.gov. It's a very real risk. I'm reading it. It says, the overall threat from the Chinese Communist Party is a hybrid one that involves crime, counterintelligence, and cybersecurity, which the FBI is countering with resources from all three missional spheres, Ray says. The threat is partially driven by the CCP's aspirations to wealth and power, Ray said, adding that China wants to seize economic development in the areas most critical to tomorrow's economy. But it goes beyond that. They wrote this book, Unrestricted Warfare. It was published in 1999. I talk about it all the time. I was one of the people that introduced it into the Pentagon as economic warfare back in the early 2000s, in mid-2000s. And I warned that China is setting up a war between us. The winds of war are real, and they plan to take Taiwan. What better time to take it when you shut down all of our military response because you hacked them? In fact, I was with a four-star general, commandant of the Marine Corps. We were meeting in a Rhode Island club and talking, and he said, yeah, I got a phone call from our internal people saying I got to get back to the headquarters because they feared that China was looking at the Marine Corps files that were actually top secret, hidden secure files. So cyber attacks, cyber hacking, cyber theft, it's all a very, very real thing.
Yeah, and here we're talking about critical infrastructure. So that gets on some of the things we talked about earlier in terms of, you know, if it was water or something in food, or let's say the grid, which we talk about often. Those are big deals.
They are. And there's a group the FBI helped form. It's called InfraGuard. It's a public-private partnership. Industry experts in the electric utility industry or in IT or in water or in commerce or in media or just thought leaders have been invited by the FBI to be part of InfraGuard. I've been involved in it for a while. I've spoken at several InfraGuard groups. I don't know if I'm supposed to say whether or not I'm a member. I don't know, you know, but it doesn't give you classified information, but they do provide updates that you are allowed to share sometimes inside your group, but they don't want known. It's just access. And there are a lot of things that the FBI past several years I'm not sure I'm super excited about. But there are some things that remind me of the old FBI, and InfraGuard's one of them, where they're really working to protect America.
Versus targeting Americans.
Yeah. I don't want anybody bursting down the door of my home, pointing assault rifles at me and threatening my family and stuff. You know, it's a crazy time in which we live, that citizens that, you know, they sat too long in front of an abortion clinic, or they impeded someone's entrance there. Yeah, that's the law, but it's not anything I would have imagined happening. I wonder how the FBI is going to respond to the upcoming Chicago Democrat convention.
Yeah. It's nothing's quite like it was, but if we can get back to some of those things that we always talk about, the liberty, the security, the values that have made this country great, and the institutions that we've had that have served a good purpose, but we've got to make sure we stay on track with what's the true purpose of those missions.
Fidelity, bravery, integrity, I think is what FBI, they say, the Federal Bureau of mm-hmm. Investigation, but fidelity, bravery, and integrity. That's what
good.
We hope.
That's what we want.
Right. Yep. Okay, so here's the scary thing, is we are fighting a multi-front war. Cyber is one of those areas, and in cyber you have warfare, then you have just hackers and scammers. What happens when they add artificial intelligence to all of this?
Force multiplier.
Yeah, that's the word, isn't it? Force multiplier. Wow. Yeah. Because all of a sudden you can hack a password pretty easily using AI. And this is one of the things that's really scary. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to go down a different path. You got me in the scary path now. What is it?
Yeah, all right. So hackers can use AI algorithms to automate attacks, increasing speed, scalability, and sophistication. Mm-hmm. Hackers can use AI for phishing and social engineering, analyzing vast amounts of data to create personalized phishing emails, messages, and chatbots, making scams more convincing. So my boss sends me an email and say, hey, what are your thoughts on this attachment? And they know your boss's name. They've studied his email or her email, so they have an idea of what it's going to look like. It looks like, and you click on that, and boom, you've installed ransomware.
It'd be easy to do, and I will admit, the skeptic in me, when Biden stepped down as his election campaign, and we hadn't seen him, and then there was a phone call in where he spoke, all legitimate. I'm not putting forth any kind of conspiracy theory, but in the back of my mind, I thought, but AI could do that. Why am I not seeing him? I feel like I should at least be seeing him as he's talking about what this is. So that causes that doubt in your mind.
What if you get a phone call from your kid who's in Europe and they've monitored ticket activities and credit card charges and knows that your kid's in Europe, and then all of a sudden you hear her in her voice or him in his voice, and they're saying to you, hey, I had my wallet stolen. I need some money. Can you wire it here? What do you do then? Because that deep fake technology exists. They can pick up a handful of words that they've intercepted and listen in on. Or what if they've cloned your phone, so they have access to, you know, your recovery information? These are really frightening things with AI. They can detect malware on your computer and evade it. They can do data mining from data breaches. They can crack your passwords. These are a lot of big challenges. We need some solutions, and we're supposed to be Solution Radio, right?
Yep.
All right, we've got some solutions here. Let's walk through them one at a time. You start with
the first one is always the best. Start with prayer.
Amen.
So pray for our nation and the situation, you know, whatever that is for our families out there.
Yep. So we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying that we're protected and guarded. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come nigh thy dwelling. That's Psalm 91. Well, God can protect us. Absolutely. He can cause. I mean, that bullet might whiz past your ear, but it maybe doesn't hit your heart or your head.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little blood on the ear, though. I mean, God, I believe very fervently that God protected President Trump. He turned his head, and that's just amazing.
You see that video of I saw the 3D animation of where his head was, and then as it turned, and where that bullet would have hit versus where it did, and that is miraculous.
It is. I hope the president recognizes that and gives the credit he has so far. So that's good. Number two, get educated. Okay, so Morgan Stanley put out an article titled Cybersecurity for Seniors, morganstanley.com/articles/cybersecurity for seniors. Again, if you want this, write into afr@piratemoneyradio.com and say, what was that link again from Morgan Stanley? We'll try and get it to you. But you can watch the Economic War Room, our television show. You can listen to Pirate Money Radio, and you can even go to community classes at community college, and you can get educated on how to protect yourself. Your bank ought to have information. Morgan Stanley certainly offering. What's number three?
Be vigilant. There's a lot of things there. Think before you click. Very easy to do. You get a little pop-up window about something you want to see, and then all of a sudden you click on that, and what happens? It's almost like the blue screen of death, but you get something's like, oh my gosh, what did I just
see? Assume it's a scam until you know otherwise. Here's another one. Yeah. Roll your mouse over to see the destination, because the link might say one thing, but it might actually take you to a different address. So I've gotten in the habit, I'll roll my mouse over the link to make sure that it matches with what it is and then that it's a legitimate address.
Yeah.
So I get a LinkedIn request. I'll go to make sure it's going only to LinkedIn.
Yeah, I like this next one because this is me. Don't be isolated. Stay in communication with the most tech-savvy trusted friend. I need a few more of those, but that's probably my easy solution. Or if you've got a son or a daughter that's up to speed on this stuff, sometimes they're a good source.
And have a device inventory, everything that's linked together. So have a list of everything linked together, your iPad, your phone, your watch, your computer, whatever. Here's another one. Don't reuse passwords. Have unique passwords for each of the websites because passwords get hacked so easily. And you'll think to change on the one, but then they'll just use that same email address and password to get into your bank or something. So don't reuse your passwords.
Yeah, but remember them. Have a place to write them down or use some type of software that helps you track that as long as it's a trusted piece of software, right?
Right. Recognize that online presence may be very different from reality. This is someone, your online dating profile, this picture does not look like you. Well, guess what? Their child exploitation that takes place, it thinks it's a 14-year-old girl coming and run away with me or whatever. It turns out to be an 47-year-old man or something. Yeah. And dating scams, all of that happens.
Yeah. Government always mails versus email. So if you get something from the government and it's an email, don't open it. Don't even look at it. Know if it's important from the IRS or anything like that, it's going to come in the mail.
That's true. All right, here's a good one. Verification words or a secret family password or phrase that indicates safety or trouble. You need to have that conversation with your loved ones. So if you get that call from Europe and saying my wallet was stolen, you just ask them some real questions that only they would know the answer to, or have a pre-planned verification word or secret family password. Next one.
And the other one is don't panic, which is the easiest thing to do is you feel your heart starting to race a little faster when something goes wrong there. But don't panic, right?
When you start to panic, that's when you're going to be the most vulnerable. So here's the website, consumer.ftc.gov. That's a good resource. And then you can hire private services like LifeLock. We said it before, keep paper copies of critical statements. And we think pirate money is going to be part of the answer in regard to money. And we cover pirate money all the time on this program. We'll cover it in more depth and more detail in a future program. But what if you could transact in gold and silver and the state made it good legal tender and you could do it electronically? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better than the ones and zeros of all these other digital currencies. Stable, gold, silver, value-based currency.
Yeah, real gold and silver that you can spend. All right, these are ways to keep yourself safe. It's a dangerous world, but it's a beautiful Saturday. Enjoy it. This is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Till next week.